May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today's apocalyptic gospel lesson hits a little close to home. Usually when I hear apocalyptic passages from the Bible, they seem strange and otherworldly, like something foreign that I can't really identify with. This week, in the wake of one of the most tumultuous political seasons in history, Jesus' words feel frighteningly familiar and timely. Jesus is speaking about the world being turned upside down. He predicts that the Jewish temple, the very center of Jewish religious life, will be reduced to rubble. He tells the disciples that the time will come when they won't know whom to trust, and they won't know who is telling the truth. There will be natural disasters and political unrest. Even families and friends will be divided against one another. Jesus paints a picture of an apocalyptic time that is marked by division, confusion, and fear. After Tuesday's presidential election, some of us feel as though that time has come. Others of us feel as though we just narrowly avoided it. And all of us can probably agree that regardless of who is in office, America is a deeply divided people, and our nation is marked by an atmosphere that is tense, angry, and fearful. So what are we to do? Let's look again to Jesus in our gospel lesson. After describing this frightening situation to his disciples, after telling them that they will be persecuted and imprisoned and even put to death, Jesus tells them, "This will give you an opportunity to testify." What an interesting thing to say to someone right after you tell them that they're about to go through something really, really difficult. I think Jesus would have made a great therapist. Therapists are always trying to convince you that a really crappy situation is actually an opportunity for growth. But as usual, Jesus is right. And Jesus is telling us the same thing today. In a society plagued by division and hatred, miscommunication and misunderstanding, we, the disciples of Christ in the United States of America, are being given an opportunity to testify. But what are we testifying to? It's really important that we get this clear. Because we're not called to testify to our political beliefs, and we're not called to testify that we were right. We are called to testify that Jesus is Lord. To testify is to bear witness, to tell the truth, to tell your story. And we all know the story. We know the truth. We here gathered in this room are witnesses. We know that the fate of this world lies not in human hands, but in the hands of the Almighty God. We know that each and every human being is beautifully and wonderfully made and created in the very image of God. We know that Christ gave his life to save sinners, and that when he stretched out his arms on that cross, he was inviting each and every person into his loving embrace. And we know that the Holy Spirit is at work in the world today, sharing Christ's Spirit and emboldening his disciples to build the kingdom of God on earth. It's time to step up and testify. Tell the story that is more true and more beautiful than any political argument. Bear witness with your words, as well as with your life, your time, and your energy. I recently started studying a Japanese martial art called Aikido. When we think about martial arts, we tend to think about violence, about kicking and punching and karate chopping. But this is a misconception. Aikido, like most martial arts, is about peace and not war. It seems kind of backwards, but the goal is actually to be in harmony with your enemy. And the techniques of Aikido aim to resolve the conflict peacefully without causing injury to yourself or to your opponent. I was taught that Aikido is creative, not destructive, because it creates harmony and justice out of violence. Sounds a lot like the way of Christian discipleship. One of the foundational principles of Aikido is called irimi. Irimi means entering. It's the way in which one enters into the conflict. To practice irimi is to practice courage, because it means moving towards your enemy, moving closer to the heart of the conflict. This goes against all of our natural instincts. When we're faced with a challenge, we usually want to step away from it, or to turn away, to shrink back, or shield ourselves against it. But the principle of irimi says that the only way to resolve a conflict peacefully, the only way to be in harmony with your enemy, is to move towards them. Many times in the coming days, these opportunities to testify will look like conflicts or challenges. Our instinct may be to step back, turn away, or throw up a shield. But I think what Jesus is telling us in our gospel passage is to practice irimi, to move in closer to the challenge, to step towards our enemy, to practice courage. All of these challenges, Jesus says, are opportunities to testify, invitations to step closer and share our story. So counterintuitive though it may be, pray that God gives you many of these challenges, many opportunities to testify. If you're scared, remember the many saints who have gone before you, women and men who risked their lives, their reputations, their sense of safety, because they chose to testify to the love of Jesus Christ. We don't do this work alone. We do it together as the body of Christ, as the Palmer family, and as the Episcopal Church. So encourage one another in the faith. Hold one another accountable. Pray for one another. I'd like to close with the blessing that our Bishop Andy Doyle uses to end the Eucharist service. Do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger women and men. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers. Pray for powers equal to your tasks. Then the doing of your work shall be no miracle, but you shall be the miracle. And every day you shall wonder at yourself, at the richness of life which has come to you by the grace of God. Amen.